It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
The female face swap, O'Neill, is quite something.
She lives at the Brunny.
She's creating quite a stir.
There's a lot of people that are fans.
I look like I'm interested in everything.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Just as the Blue Jays start rolling, the rain rolls through St. Louis, and now the game will be postponed. They'll play a doubleheader tomorrow.
How greased do you think they are?
Oh, you know this is green light special.
You never get any days off in a baseball season. Like, those guys play guilty as it is. St. Louis is a better city than people think.
It's brutal. I know it's close to your heart.
I lived there for 4 years.
Come on.
It's a good city. I'm telling you, we talk about bar play, and like, that city is one of the hidden gems in America. I'm not lying.
What makes it so good?
Because everyone there, Budweiser factory's there. Everyone enjoys drinking. Everyone enjoys a good time. They're all sports fans. They're loyal sports fans.
Chaser's there. He is the best tour guide in St. Louis.
I got to be careful, actually, because if Chaser gets word that I'm chirping St. Louis,
he may drive up here at like.
He may treat me like a cabbie, and I could be in big trouble.
Exactly, but I'm telling you, it's a hidden gem. There's a lot of quality people there, and
okay.
I guarantee you, the Jays are going to continue on this streak now. Because they're going to do a little team bonding in St. Lou.
Well, I would think that they should feel pretty good about themselves, considering what went down last night.
Coughlin's got his name locked in for the 1v1 for, like, that up was, in the rafters.
That was unreal.
Wasn't that amazing? Did you see his post game? Like, he seems like he's a pretty good guy and realizes that he's grinding. He's trying to stay in the majors. And I guess after he... I don't even know how to describe it. He was diving over Molina. Then he slid in. He could have... done some serious damage to Molina or himself, for that matter.
He looks 35 years old, too.
He looks like he's a weathered vet.
He looks like Kevin Costner in
Yeah, he kind of does. Yeah, he kind of does. And he went to the dugout, and he was joking with Gibbons. He's like, I guess I'm staying in the game, right? Knowing that Gibbons was taking him out. And Gibby didn't really flinch at first, and then he realized he was goofing around, but he had a great time with it post-game.
Yeah.
And Coughlin, that dive and slide was unbelievable. And he referenced Willie Mays Hayes. He referenced the end of Major League.
Come on.
Which I've got a lot of time for.
I do too.
You know?
I thought it was brilliant.
What kind of poll you got cooking there?
Well, I'm asking people because that wasn't the only 1v1 moment last night. Marcus Stroman pinch hitting and roping one to left for a double and then scoring the winning run. In my opinion... more unlikely than what Coughlin did. And that's the poll I'm asking people.
Really?
Which unlikely play that worked out for the Jays last night was more unlikely in your opinion? And 59% are saying Stroman.
Right. I mean, this guy, man. That, like, a baseball player, whether you're a pitcher or not, going up there and getting a hit, that was a circus home plate play. Like, you never see that.
Other than Pete Rose running over. Like, if he would have just ran him right over and the guy would have exploded. Oh, you described a guy getting hit yesterday, and I couldn't stop laughing, where Scott Stevens would crush people through the middle, and it was like a bird being hit by a car or a plane. Mm-hmm. They just explode. A play like that at the plate, those collisions, they rarely happen like that.
They don't happen anymore because you're technically not allowed to block the base pad and the plate. If you're a catcher, but that's a Molina brother we're talking about.
Right.
That guy could hold his ground.
He's a grit grinder. They all are.
They all are. And Yadi Molina is a beast. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's an unbelievable catcher. And he was shocked.
Of course.
It was like a wrestling move. Like, he got up and he's looking around. He's like, where the hell did this guy go?
Where did this guy go?
Where did Coughlin go?
Right over top.
And I think he went right over top because he realized Molina's in the way, and I'm not running through him.
Not going through him.
I'm in big trouble. I'd rather dive over and deal with the consequences.
No going through him. It's just over, or you're in massive trouble.
You're on the DL.
You're running through into a brick wall.
Right, but don't sell short the Stroman pinch hit double, man. Like that you do not see every day where they ran out of players. Right, they didn't have anyone off the bench that is an everyday batter. So they're like, all right, Stroman, you're up, and he ropes one to left.
It is pretty cool.
And then it turns into the game-winning run.
Yeah.
So that was a cool night last night, and it's too bad because the Jays could use something going in their favor. And then, of course, the rain delay, and now they got to shut it down, and who knows what they're doing in St. Louis.
Well, I know. They're probably at Johnny's Bar in Soulard. I spent a lot of time there.
I'm sure you
Soulard
did.
Soulard is a Mardi Gras. That's what it is. It's right. Basically New Orleans is the number one. St. Louis is number two for Mardi Gras. It's the second biggest Mardi Gras in America. It's crazy.
I didn't know there was any more Mardi Gras.
Well, there is in St. Louis.
How do you compete with New Orleans?
You just close that street down and all hell breaks loose.
All right. Well, they're not playing tonight, but it was a big win. It was an entertaining win. We'll continue to update you on that poll question. We've got JPR and Sebia coming up at 6:30 today, and we'll ask him what he made of the play and what he thought of Stroman and how Stroman was going to react.
Yep.
And you knew he was going to be fired up, and he deserved to be stepping into the box and just roping one to left the way that he did last night. Jerry's percentages at 5:30, and our friends from Best Portuguese Chicken have jumped on
board.
Yes,
they have. Like, we barely made it on air.
They are dialed in.
You two gremlins. Our boy Troy from sales brought in food like right before the show at 3:58.
2 minutes and 20 seconds to be exact.
It was as if you guys had been prisoners of war for 5 years and all of a sudden food showed up for the first time.
I'm starving. And
me too.
That chicken smells unreal. So I tried to open it. It was a little hot, though. I tried to break off a wing to just see if I could have it under the table here, but it wasn't flying.
It's real deal Holyfield.
It is. And there was rice brought in and salad. Like, this is a feast.
It looks spectacular. It really does. Like, even from here, it looks spectacular.
Let's go break.
I'm really fired up.
Let's go play some sound.
Yeah, maybe we can replay something. I don't know.
Yeah, we've got to get to a lot of things. Like, I don't know if we've got to tread lightly here. The Daily Dope is the person who climbed on a crane.
Well, Crane Girl is the biggest story in the city. I haven't seen a buzz like this since Dart Guy like a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
But
that's the Instagram I woke up to. My buddy put it on there, and he's like, first Dart Guy and now Crane Girl. And you got to tread lightly here. I mean,
right.
I don't know what's going on with this woman, if she had problems, if this was
right,
or if it was just a big night and it's like, I want to climb the crane.
Well, there's a couple of things that are not disputable. She was dressed up in like bar gear. She had like a leather jacket on, high heels,
skirt, she looks like she was out on the town.
It kind of looked that way to me. Now, that doesn't mean you can't be out on the town and still not have some issues, and who knows.
Yeah, we've got to be careful there, but choose our words.
But the truth is, there are so many answers that just have not been applied yet, and this is shocking to me because we're talking 8 hours later. This is the biggest story in the city.
Right.
This shut down downtown. Mm-hmm. Shut it down. The mayor had to come out and speak on this, like, right off the hop.
Right.
CP24, Cam Woolley, was talking for an hour and a half straight, giving, like, play-by-play of what was going on with Crane Girl.
Like, it's not like she was sitting in the crane. She slid all the way, like, she was down on the cables. Like,
but
how did she get there? I understand you want to climb up the crane, but how did you get on the dangling part of it?
She like slid down the rope, like a rope.
How did she get up there? Why did she go up? What was she thinking when she got stuck up there? How will the cops and the courts handle this?
Right.
There is just so much left to be determined. And I'm shocked at 4:10, her name isn't out. Like, we don't know anything.
No.
What is going on with journalism in this city?
I thought just by her face being on TV, somebody would say, hey, that's my friend so-and-so.
No kidding. Someone knows her.
She's attractive, too. It's really weird.
If we saw her at the bar, I'd be like, that's an interesting look. Yeah. I wonder.
I'll go on the crane with you.
I wonder what her post-game plan is.
But, why we're treading lightly, you don't know. But if she's taken some sort of substance and all of a sudden thinks she can fly, like, that's dangerous.
Well,
right?
Someone was writing about it this morning. I guess this has become a thing in Russia, where girls in Russia are climbing up cranes to take selfies.
Dude, it's all over the world. Like, people are going up high rises and standing right on the edge and taking pics with selfie sticks and doing tricks and bringing skateboards. It's completely nuts.
But there are people who've died from it.
I don't think this was that situation.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's the truth. I have no idea what she was doing, why she went up there, what was the end. Because when they got her down, she was very composed.
Yeah, very calm. Like, even on the way down, the guy that brought her down, the firefighter, and kudos to him, he was like, she was very calm. I asked her if she was okay. She asked if I was okay. And then we just came down.
See, that's where... And the cops were composed, too. Like, the cops should be pissed off that they, you know, she's caused a stir. Everyone shut down.
Well, she's going to have to pay for that. You can bank on it.
I was waiting for them to throw her to the ground or something.
Well, I don't think it was necessary because the media is around.
Subdued.
You got to be careful.
I don't think she's going to go to jail. She going to get mischief and...
Mischief, probably trespassing. I would assume, without knowing, maybe we can try to find this out, I would think she's going to have to pay for whatever the city had to pay.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
It cost taxpayers money.
Cost people a lot of money and a lot of time, and they had a lot of different crews out there, firefighters and paramedics and cops. And
you don't think that's a jailable offense? Like, it's pretty close, is it not?
I would think, man. It's close. But again, you got to find out the backstory here. Like, if she's up there taking a selfie... See you later.
Or just being an idiot.
Then I'm like, go ahead. You should do some time for that kind of stupidity.
If she's got something else going on that is a lot more serious as far as closer to, you know, mental issues, that type of stuff, then
they'll be more delicate with that.
Right,
exactly. But this is the most exclusive interview in the city right now. Like, if you could offer me anybody in the city to interview right now, it's Crane Girl in a heartbeat.
Really?
I need to interview Crane Girl. I got to find out what was going on. I was so captivated this morning. I could not stop watching and tweeting.
Well, it was live. Like, you're watching it live.
Eight in the morning.
I know.
Like, she's up on a crane.
I turned it on to check the weather.
Four hours she was up there.
But that's what leads it to, for me, to be suspicious behavior. Because if she's up there at 4 o'clock in the morning, like, you're coming out of the club or something. Like... I don't want to speculate. Like you said, we've got to tread lightly. But it just, I can't wait for information to come out. Either way, because you want to know.
I got to find out more about this.
Put it this way.
Story.
Ken Pagan was on the front cover of every paper here. People knew him within what? Like
hours. It was being tweeted out. I think I know who that guy is. I think I know what the story is.
Nobody can figure out who this lady is.
It really makes you wonder. 8 hours later, we have no details on Crane Girl.
It's crazy.
Is she still in jail? Is she in front of the courts today? Is she back home?
I think she had to go to hospital for observation.
Obviously. I mean, if she's...
Big time.
Yeah, if it's not a good situation then.
Well, so we'll try to keep you up to date because everyone in the city is buzzing about it. You don't get a story like that very often.
No.
The whole city, the whole downtown core was shut down. Young and Wellesley was shut down.
That would rattle me, too, because you're trying to get to work and stuff, and then all this, all hell breaking loose.
You know that's coming, though. Someone's up on a crane.
Yeah.
You know that they're going to shut some streets down. Steph notifying me that Chris Coughlin will join us at 4:30.
Nice.
So we'll find out. Maybe we're ruining his day in St. Louis. What kind of activity is he up to? And is he walking out of the bar? Is he out for lunch?
He's calling from a parking lot somewhere.
Yeah, so we'll try to find out what's going on here with Chris Coughlin and just get him to run through the whole scene last night when he was diving over Yadier Molina. So I'm looking forward to that. Chris Coughlin.
That's awesome.
Crane Girl would be my number one interview. Coughlin would be number two.
So we got a good show.
So we're hopping, man.
And we've got Portuguese chicken waiting for us in the
Portuguese
break.
Chicken in here.
BPC.
We've got...
BPC.
The second round of the NHL playoffs finally beginning tonight. And
yeah, everyone's well-rested.
I would certainly hope so. And it's the two Western Conference teams are going at it. And
which, by the way, we talked about it yesterday. Completely ridiculous.
I know.
Like, for the NHL not to have one of each on each night, like, are you kidding me?
I would love to get that explanation.
Me too.
I'm sure there is some sort of
building.
Explanation. It's building availability and
the Sports Horn sent me an explanation.
Oh, really?
Text yesterday.
Oh, so he's in the know.
What's he saying?
I can't remember. I read it, but I'd have to circle back on it.
So in other words, you didn't actually read it.
No, I read it absolutely.
Did you send him back the gratuitous thumbs up emoji?
No, I gave him. Yeah, I sent something. I can't remember. Him and I were back.
Finger emoji.
I didn't give him a middle finger.
I'm pretending I'm reading this.
No, I read it. I knew it was something to do with NBC. I think NBC is obviously controls a lot of that stuff. Correct. So, TV big contract.
which they have the right to
they do have
dictate
right.
what's going
Absolutely.
On. You know, you
yeah.
But I don't understand why NBC wouldn't want that staggered. That's what doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
If I'm NBC, why would you want two games on two nights going up against each other? You've got the really? First one at, 9 o'clock tonight, and the second one's at 10:30, so there's going to be overlapping.
It's 8 and 10:30.
8 now. And 10:30, and then tomorrow it's 7 and 7:30.
Right.
If you're NBC, why would you not want to stagger the two games?
But I agree.
Tonight you got McDavid, another first for him, his first game in the second round, and let's be honest, they won in the first round, and he played fine, but it's not like he didn't break out.
Right.
He didn't
right.
do much offensively, quite frankly, so I'm curious to see. Because we had that conversation leading up to the playoffs. Do these guys have the ability to bring it to another level? Can McDavid do that? Can Matthews do that? Matthews yeah. did it in the first round. McDavid, obviously, he's going to be keyed on if you're the Ducks. And
oh, he's going into hell. Ryan yeah. Kessler is going to make his life miserable for the next 14 days.
Yeah.
Or however long it takes.
But I think he's going to be all right fighting through Kessler, but he's got to... What they've got to do it is by committee. It's not just the Kessler's not going to be able to catch him half the time.
No,
but it's
I
after
agree. And you know what, Jamie?
This.
Every chance you get as a coach, it's not admitting defeat. But if you get a matchup, if there's an icing and a fourth line's on the ice or whoever it is, you put McDavid out on the ice.
Yep.
You make an adjustment to try to get him some free space and time.
Yep.
And let him make a play.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that he can't do that when Kessler's on the ice, but try to find different ways of mixing it up, throwing him out there with different line mates at different times to kind of catch Anaheim off.
I agree. And Edmonton has to be careful too because they've got some guys who have short fuses, and Anaheim has two of the biggest agitator jackasses in the league in Perry and Kessler. And you know that both of them are just going to be all over the Stars and trying to goad them in a little bit. That's where Lucic has to be disciplined. Maroon has to be disciplined. Cassian, who runs hot and cold, and he's erratic. I mean, that game where he scored the big goal, and he had two questionable hits where I thought they could have been penalties easily on any other given night.
You can go from hero to zero real quick.
Real quick, because you've got to be careful. But that's, I think Anaheim is going to head down. And you know Carlisle. Carlisle likes a heavy, mean team, right?
Well, Randy was digging in today, talking about how he's expecting the Oilers to start whining about the faceoff dot because the Ducks are one of the best teams in the league at faceoffs, and the Oilers are 30th.
Yeah.
So before it even began, Randy is dropping some lines on McLellan
and
company.
Bombs.
Yeah, some whining bombs.
Yeah.
Listen, that's a big part of the game, right? I mean,
yep.
We know that. Winning draws and working over the refs. So Randy, I guess, is planting a seed right off the hop.
Absolutely.
Letting the refs know don't be affected by it, and mm-hmm. maybe his own team for that matter. But I'd like to see this series get ugly. There's some big boys that will make it get ugly
yeah.
if need be. And then the other series starting tonight, of course, is Preds St. Louis. And
I can't figure out where to go on
tough
that.
Tough to get a read on that.
I know everyone is favoring Nashville. They had terrific underlying numbers and all that down the stretch. They sweep Chicago. I'm not sleeping on St. Louis. Like Tarasenko scored one goal in the first series. He's not going to be held he's not going to be held to one goal in this series. He's a hell of a player. They've got more depth than people think in St. Louis. And if Jake Allen he doesn't have to be all world, but he's got to be good. Like he was all world in that first series. So was Rene. They're going to come back to earth.
Yeah, you can't expect them to replicate that.
No.
Jake Allen in particular, his numbers were
yeah.
ridiculous.
Well, Rene allowed three goals in four games against
yeah.
Chicago.
That's not going to happen.
But it'll be interesting to see how that series shapes.
Nikita Kucherov had
he
some
needs
interesting
a better
comments.
Translator,
well,
I think.
He had some interesting comments to a paper in Russia. We'll tell you about that later in the afternoon. Quick update, CP24 tweeting out that the crane girl, the woman rescued from the crane downtown, will be charged with mischief. According to Toronto Police Detective Barry Radford, she will appear in court tomorrow. The woman will be charged with 6 counts of public mischief, interfering with property. She'll be held in police custody overnight to ensure that she will appear in court tomorrow.
Wow.
So obviously they've worked her over and they're talking to her and trying to figure out what's going on. And this would lead me to believe that they think she was being reckless, clearly. I mean, regardless of what the reasoning was, it put
right.
the city in a real bind, but they're keeping her overnight and charging her with 6 counts. They're saying, hey, we'll see you tomorrow, and we're not happy about
plus
this.
Plus, you got to send that message. not only to her, but like you can't. That has to be a serious offense. Like they wasted a lot of resources today, and shut down a lot of people's lives for however long, for her. And I know I'm still trying to be very ultra sensitive to it, just depending on what the scenario is. But if it comes out that she popped a pill at a club and decided to be an idiot, then we'll go to town on her after that.
I would think we might have some more comments on Crane Girl when the necessary details come out. All right, Chris Coughlin will join us in 10 minutes. The man, the myth, the legend himself, Willie Mays Hayes, the real-life Willie Mays Hayes. So we'll get his take on what went down last night, and he's new into this whole Jays tenure. I mean, it hasn't been a great start, but does he feel like maybe things are starting to turn around a little bit?
Yeah.
So we'll catch up with Chris. We're looking forward to that in about 10 minutes. Ray Ferraro coming up. We got to get to a Couching to 10K update. We've got some chicken in here from our friends at BBC, Best Portuguese Chicken. So we'll go take care of that.
Best.
We're feeling good on a Wednesday afternoon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and of the TSN Go app. All right, Chris Coughlin, we're hoping that he'll call in the next 4 or 5 minutes. He's on an off day down in St. Louis. Wasn't scheduled that way, but it's raining down there, and they will not play tonight, so a doubleheader tomorrow. Don't forget, Game 6 tomorrow, Raptors-Bucks. You can hear that right here on TSN 1050 tomorrow night. I loved Kyle Lowry's presser today because he was getting pushed on the whole treating Game 6 like a Game 7.
Yeah.
And he just said, it's a Game 6. I'm going to treat it like it's a Game 6.
Nice. That, see?
I'm a big fan of that response. That's the way you should respond to that kind of question.
What about this Westbrook character?
He punked himself last night.
Not a fan.
Nope.
It's a punk move. Like, it just is.
I told you guys before that a lot of NHL teams, when they have that superstar, they wonder if you can win with that one dynamic guy. It seems like he's all about the triple-double and about Russ, and that's it. And it's great. You can get in the playoffs, but can you win with that?
Yeah, I mean,
he's such a spectacular talent. He is one of the most entertaining athletes on the planet right now. But it does feel as if his only priority is Russ.
Right.
He wants his numbers. He wants people talking about him. The fact that he just stormed off the court last night after the series. And then he's going back and forth with Patrick Beverly. And Beverly kind of was pushing him himself. And
yeah,
was
and he brought the team concept up. He's like, yeah, you got 40 points, but you took 34 shots to get it.
And you're losing.
Yeah.
And you had another poor fourth quarter again when it really is crunch time.
Yeah, he is rubbing me the wrong way. It's like, great athlete. What a talent as far as an athlete. But as far as him.
No, I'll admit it, man. I think he is the MVP. I think he will be the MVP. He had an unbelievable regular season, but I'm with you. He really looked bad during these games.
Well, I just think
he put up numbers, but you walk off like that in such a petulant fashion. It's just a horrible
look. It's all about him.
But to me, it just rubs me the wrong way, and it makes him unlikable. Like, your biggest star. Now, Kobe had some of that, didn't he? Wasn't Kobe an unlikable guy for a long time?
Yeah, but he has 5 championships, too.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, Kobe was a killer on the court, and Kobe would smack talk, and like Jordan would smack talk with the best of them, man.
Right.
But I don't recall situations where he stormed off. I mean, maybe it has happened. There have been athletes that have done that in every sport.
In every sport, and that's not just
stupid.
Yeah, exactly. Who would be the most unlikable superstar in the history of sports? Ooh, that's a great poll.
That is a great question.
Is it Barry Bonds? Because I think Bonds started to soften after his career, I believe.
Bonds was very hated.
What about the guy with the check on the wall, played for Oakland, Ricky Henderson?
I think Ricky was liked. I mean, Ricky was a different character.
I don't think he was a superstar either.
Oh, yeah, he was a superstar.
He was a superstar.
He's as good
as he gets.
Ricky
Henderson?
Yeah, Ricky Henderson's one of the great players of all time.
But don't you, like, I'm just thinking, like, who would be the most unliked superstar sport or
well,
athlete.
Throw it out there on Twitter at HayesTSN at Overdrive 1050. If you can think of any sport,
anyone
that screams superstar that you just hate it,
like as a villain. Now, maybe it's Rooney, the soccer player.
That's out of my expertise. Like, I can't speak to how
he
would be perceived.
I think he had some personal issues and stuff, but like,
yeah.
He seemed like a
there's
jackass.
Options, believe
yeah,
me.
I think Terrell
Owens. Terrell Owens would be one, T.O. for sure.
Yeah.
Ocho Cinco, maybe a little bit. See, Sean Avery wasn't a superstar, though.
Yeah, Manziel, not a superstar, but he's unlikable.
Someone texting in Lance Armstrong.
Interesting.
Like,
but that was afterwards, where it's like you're a cheat.
Right. During the time, right. He was beloved.
God.
Because of what he was doing. Chris Coughlin, we're hoping he'll call in. We'll get his take on what went down last night. I don't think it can be called a slide.
No.
Like, it's
a dive. It was a dive.
Right? That's not a slide. It was a dive roll.
And then he's landed the finish, too.
9 out of 10.
Perfect.
Mr. Perfect.
Yes.
So Chris Coughlin, hoping to catch up with him. Rays coming up. Jerry's percentages in an hour. My understanding is he's got another opening statement.
Nice.
See what he has to say. Overdrive continues in 2 minutes. Shout out to our friend Kara Waglin, who I guess is tuned in, and Kara sent in Alex Rodriguez as a superstar that was hated. I would say there were more people that hated A-Rod than loved A-Rod. Like, that's how I would define a villain, right? Because some people like the bad guy. Some people are in that corner. Some people like the heel in the WWE.
The Sports Horn sent Floyd Mayweather.
Mayweather would be, he's as good as it gets, and he's despised. Like, Conor McGregor would probably be in that category now. Like, McGregor's the man in the UFC, but he drives people nuts.
And he's not shy to, like, beak people. Like, he beaks, like, Brock Lesnar.
I know. Is Barkley hated?
I don't think so. I think he's liked by a lot of people.
I'm not talking now.
Back in his heyday? Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Rodman was never really a superstar. I mean, some people are writing in Michael Vick, but that was after the dog fighting
stuff. Yeah, it's the same
stuff.
Thing as A-Rod. The hatred started after the roids. No?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Majority of it, anyway.
I'm just talking to somebody who was just seemed like a piece of garbage as a person, but was such an amazing athlete or amazing person or amazing talent. Doesn't seem like there's a lot out there.
Yeah, that's tough to really know. I mean, it's tough to know behind the scenes. You guys would know of certain guys.
You're right. I talk about it all the time. Public perception and private perception of players sometimes are bang on, sometimes are night and day. Mm-hmm. Complete opposite. And there's players I could speak about in today's world and of when me and O played that you would be shocked. But see, Ray... little ball of hate. He comes off chippy, but he's a nice guy.
Is he? Yeah, I think he is.
He is.
I think Ray's a nice guy.
But he comes off chippy.
Well, he is chippy.
You got to ask him that question because he'll have somebody.
He probably would. Well, it's interesting because we're waiting for Chris Coughlin, but in Tampa, does Nikita Kucherov become hated based on what he had to say today?
What bothers me is when
I got to be honest with you guys, you got to clarify. Like I had a difficult time reading.
Well, I didn't understand.
It's like this guy and that guy, and then we didn't play.
Let me read the quotes. Now, keep in mind, this was originally said in Russian to a Russian newspaper.
Who knows how this?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Lost in translation.
Well, this happens every single year. A European player goes home, a Russian, a Swede, a Finn, and they say something, and they forget that the internet exists and that it's going to get back to North America.
Antiranta last year.
Every single year, it happens.
Yep.
A guy comes out, spits off, and then afterwards is like, who was it on the Oilers? Was it Klefbom that said it about Hall?
Yeah.
And then he's like,
Didn't play good
minute.
Against tough teams.
Yeah. Every single year, they go home and they just. Spout off, and then they're like, oh, man, now we're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
But Kucherov said, quote, again, this is translated to English, some guys overstayed in team. I'm assuming overstayed their welcome.
Mean?
I don't know. They got their money and stopped working. I know what that means.
Right.
They knew there's no competition for their positions, and the organization is not going to take someone else. They played not really well this year. You can see it in their stats in the way they played. When we played together and I made a pass, they even were not expecting this. That's why this season was hard for me despite the good stats. He also went on to take a shot at John Cooper about how much the lines were constantly changing, comparing it to a kaleidoscope.
Right.
Which is a strange reference,
know, man.
But like he can get through this because he's a superstar. He's the man.
Right.
If you're a plug, you're toast.
Yeah, you're done.
You're toast with comments like this. But you know he's walking into that room in September and he's going to get some horse-eyeing from teammates, don't you think? He's
Absolutely.
Carving the team.
He is.
Carving the team. Anyway, we'll pick back up on that because Superman just called in.
Nice.
Chris Coughlin is on the line. It's apparently an off day all of a sudden in St. Louis. And you're a fan of St. Louis.
I played there for 4 years. I'd be down. I'd be at Soulard at a place called Johnny's. I'd be bellied up there. They got chili. They've got
Budweiser.
Quality people there. A lot of Budweiser. And you end up over across the bridge at the Oz or other places.
Okay. Let's bring in Chris Coughlin from the Blue Jays. What's your plan on an off day in St. Louis?
Fellas, what's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
I just tried to catch up on some sleep, woke up, and the game was canceled. I think some of the boys might go watch some hockey tonight.
Nice.
Playoff game. Yeah.
Really?
So, I don't know how long we'll stay for, but might make an appearance for, you know, a period or two. It ain't much.
Well, these guys are saying St. Louis is a very underrated town. Are you a fan of that town?
I am. I played with the Cubs for 3 years, so we were here all the time. More going on than people think. But man, when you're in the grind, I'm like, my wife's always like, let's go see the Ark and let's go do this, and I'm like, babe, I'll sleep here and rest up because Daddy's got to go work. So. You know, I don't ever get to do really much any of that stuff, but it's a cool town. They got some good food, and it's a great place to play baseball.
Well, you went to work last night, and people are still trying to figure out what the hell you were thinking hopping over Yadier Molina. It's not even a slide. I mean, some people are defining it as a slide. That's not a slide. That's a dive and roll. That's an Olympic move. What was going through your mind?
Oh, man, I was glad my dad put me in gymnastics when I was a kid. That's what I was thinking afterwards. Honestly, I mean, you're just like, I mean, you're in the moment in any sport, man. You're running, it's a big point in the game, and I'm running, and I get waved home, and I just happen to look to my left because I was like, man, I don't know where I want to slide. And, you know, they got all these rules to protect everybody, and I get it. But, I mean, it's just tough as a runner because, I mean, if you're out, I mean, the only shot you got is, like, to run the guy over. You know, so you're like, all right, at least I'll take my chances. Maybe the ball pops out. But you can't really do that anymore. So, I mean, you're running, and then I see him come in front of the home plate. And the last two or three steps, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, I'm like, okay, do I go to the left? And then I thought, okay, I'm going to run him over. And then because he went low, luckily I've played enough football in my day, he went so low for the ball, I was going – fast and then losing my balance there at the end, I was like, I can't run him over, like he's lower than me, and so I was like, just jump, and then I just jumped the next step, and then the rest was history.
He's also a Molina. If you tried to run him over, do you think you potentially would have been in trouble?
Oh yeah, knowing them, I know them. I've played against them so many. They're as old school as you got. There ain't no doubt I'm getting drilled next to bat. No doubt.
Is that guy?
But I mean, you don't think about that. You're trying to score the run. At the end of the day, like I know Matheny. I got great respect for him. He caught. Listen, he's in the middle of the plate. They ain't nowhere to go. Now, are they going to be frustrated? Hopefully, nobody gets hurt. You know, you don't want to ever hurt somebody. But you play the game long enough. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. Every run is valuable. So. That's what I did, and I'm glad nobody got hurt doing it.
It was an incredible play. We're chatting with Chris Coughlin from the Blue Jays again. They've been rained out tonight. They'll have a doubleheader tomorrow. They won 6-5 and 11 last night. And I think Stroman might have stolen some thunder from you. I mean, he steps into the batter's box in the 11th and ropes one to left, and now people are talking about him. I mean, did you have to pull him aside and say, that's not cool, man. Don't steal my thunder, because a lot of people are buzzing about what he did last night too.
No, I'm pumped for it. Man, I'm so anti-self-glory. I'm over that. I've played too many years. When I was younger, I was all into it. Trust me. I mean, I'd read the papers. I'd watch the clippings. You know, oh, my gosh, I'm on ESPN. Can you believe it? But I'm over that stuff. It's all good. I was pumped, man. I was so jacked up when he hit that double. I'm like, we're winning this freaking game. Somehow, some way, we're going to win this game. Our pitcher just got a double. I was pumped. I mean, it was just a great win for the boys. You know, everyone knows it's been a grind. It's been tough. you know, but there's a lot to be said camaraderie-wise and closeness when you win games like that. You know, it just builds, it builds, it builds, and then eventually you get in more and more games like that. You know, it breeds confidence. So you're like, I've been there. I know how to fight back. I know how to steal a run. I know how to when my back's against the wall, to find a way somehow, some way. And that belief just continues to roll, and that's what you do. That's how you win championships, man. The margin of winning and losing is so small, even though the game, everyone outside thinks it's huge. It's really so small. So the losing teams lose close games, and the winning teams win close games. It's that simple.
It must be a bit of an adjustment, though. Like you said, you're coming over from the Cubs, and that team last year had just an unbelievable season, and we all know what happened in the playoffs. And then you come to Toronto, you had to wait for your time to get up. You come up, and you're on the last-place team in baseball, and it's a big shock because this is a team that has been to the ALCS 2 years in a row, and high expectations were placed on the team. How difficult of an adjustment has that been, going from the Cubs to Toronto, considering what's happened early this season?
Well, I would say how I would answer that is the difficulty was in my own situation, not the team or the organization. It was very sobering and humbling when, you know, just having that contract dispute in Philly and kind of shaking out the way that did. I mean, I'm like, this is crazy. You know, I was just playing in the World Series, and here I am. I'm in the minor leagues at Buffalo. And I don't mean that any disrespect to Buffalo, or I don't mean that egotistically at all. It's just, it's tough. You know, you're thinking, man, I was starting game one of the World Series. Like, I mean, I was feeling pretty good about myself and on the best team on the planet. And now I'm in, you know, AAA. And that's just how things worked out. And, you know, I believe that, you know, God allows everything for a reason. And I'm in where I'm supposed to be. And I'm so grateful. It was tough even for that week, but I'm so grateful for where I'm at now. I'm grateful that for that humility I was allowed to experience playing there. It's been a while since you're like, man, I'm eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and I'm playing in the snow. And, you know, I'm traveling on buses. I'm not staying at Four Seasons. And I'm not, you know, having everything catered. So that was the part, I think, that was the adjustment. Going to the Blue Jays hadn't been an adjustment at all, man. I mean, Toronto's beautiful. I've always enjoyed playing there. A lot of these guys, it's a veteran team. You know, this is my ninth season in the big leagues. And, I mean, it's a lot of these guys, you know, it's such a small fraternity. So I felt like they loved me right when I got there. They know what I can bring to this team to help us win games. And, you know, I felt a part of something bigger than myself. And in team sports, that's the coolest fact, man, when you're like, man, I'm building something bigger than myself. And so let's strap it on and go do it and see what we can build.
Doubleheader tomorrow down in St. Louis again. The Jays rained out tonight. He is Chris Coughlin. He went Superman last night. That was an incredible play and much needed. Enjoy your day off. Enjoy the hockey game tonight. And thank you so much for doing this today.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate having me. You guys have a good one.
You too. There's Chris Coughlin.
Sounds like he's pretty chilled.
Yeah, he is.
I'm a fan.
I am a fan.
I mean, he's been in the league for a long time, and that's a lot of honesty, too. Like, that is shocking, right? Like,
right.
He was in the World Series, starting game one of the World Series, and then he's got a contract dispute. All of a sudden, the Jays pick him up, but they're like, we don't have a spot for you right now. You got to go down to Buffalo,
yeah,
riding buses and hanging out in gritty Buffalo.
There is some grit in the minors.
But he...
I only spent one game there, and the difference is incredible.
I was telling some minor league stories the other day of hazing, when hazing still kind of happened. There were some... When we have to kill some time, I'll tell a story on air. I think we can get this one out.
All right. We'll dance around later, the R-rated stuff if we have to.
Not really R-rated. It's just a lot of drinking and stuff where
I don't think
you can do that anymore, to the point where we used to have numbers and you drink until you puke and the guys would bet on them.
We got to get back into this crane girl. I still don't know how she got on that thing.
I want to know, did she have friends that said, I'm out of here?
Yeah, but there's the guy that rescued her, we got to go to break. But
okay, we're getting into Crane Girl a lot more,
Me.
He used professional equipment to get to her. How did she get there?
It took them hours to get to her, and then they strap her onto the gurney or whatever you would call that.
She's Mr. Magoo. She just stumbled out there, walked the crane, slid down a vine and sat there for
It's crazy.
Hours.
And now she's going to be held by police tonight and... in court tomorrow, and they're charging her with
six counts. Yeah,
of
she deserves
mischief,
all of that.
So more details are coming out, believe me.
Yeah.
Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. All right, Ray's coming up in about 10 minutes. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. Jeannie Bouchard taking a run, a healthy run at Maria Sharapova. We'll play that audio.
How long is it?
Not long enough for you to check out and eat chicken. Believe me.
That chicken is, I'm a fan.
I'm a big fan.
You know I love the chalet. This is...
It's on a new level.
It's on
a...
We're fans. They do well.
So we'll get to that in the next hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app.